Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to The Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. We're your flagship station for the Cards, and you can hear The Dan McDonald Show Wednesday at 6 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville right after the drive. That's 6 o'clock Wednesday on 93.9 The Ville. And on Tuesday, Louisville Baseball, I think they're hosting Western Kentucky, because they played down there already this year at 5:50 on 93.9 The Ville as well. So, you know, they won the series against Miami. They needed to win that series.
They did.
They got run ruled yesterday, though.
17 runs.
But I'll take the series win. They needed to go down there. They needed to win that series. They've won that series, and you know it's good to kind of get some good vibes around the program. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want to get swept like that, but you know, or run ruled like that. But you would have liked the sweep, and it started out well. You know, they got a 1-0 lead, and then it was just.
Went downhill from there.
Yeah. It was tied 3-3 for a minute. And, you know, but so, yeah, this weekend they will host Clemson. Mm-hmm. So, and then Tuesday's game is at Jim Patterson. So, five games, because they have a Northern Kentucky next Tuesday. So, five-game stretch here where you got Louisville baseball here at Jim Patterson Stadium. Clemson comes to town.
Uh-oh.
What color is Diener wear?
He may be conflicted.
Yeah. Friday night, Diener goes to Jim Patterson Stadium. King of Clemson tells him to put on the orange and purple. What does he do?
Especially now that he's newfound buddies with Dabo Swinney.
He's hanging out with Dabo.
That's his buddy.
Yeah, he probably invited Dabo up. He's probably coming to Derby, staying at Diener's house.
Wouldn't that be funny? Because that is an event.
He would do it just to irritate me. He would, for sure.
You guys get to hang out. You hanging out with Dabo Swinney would be something I did not have on my bingo card.
I'd just tell him he's a cheater. I'd be like, go over there to Baffert's bar.
Him and Baffert, they hang out.
Yeah, Dabo and Baffert, rubbing shoulders.
Drew would be in the house where God lives, right?
Yeah, that's right. He'd be over there where God lives. So, oh my goodness. All right, let's read some text here, because there's a lot... Gosh, I don't even know where to start with this. The Tweeters have been there since Thursday.
Wow. Okay.
They've been here. Well, I'm not touching them. I'm not moving them. They're not mine. A texter says roach clip. texter says Nick was plucking his nose hairs. I don't think it was Nick, because unless Nick did a show in here on Thursday.
Possibly.
Or Wednesday and left them.
Nick might have been hosting on Friday, actually.
Okay.
Now that I think about it.
Says Valvano found tweezers too. No, I'm not saying that. If it wasn't Bob, who's saying the same thing last week. Are the tweezers correlated with the Brahms visit? Brahms visit? No.
Because you were there for that.
I was here for that. Of course, I was where you were. I couldn't see these over here. So let's see.
Did you hear Strebel trying to get at you about the Brahm thing? Did you listen to that?
No, what did he say?
So Strebel feels like... You know, he said, like, during the Satterfield era, you were kind of, like, riding high when it came to the football program. Like, you were almost like the voice.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm just telling you, this is translating what I heard. He's saying, now that Brahms in town, Diener's like the go-to guy because him and Diener, and he's like, you were kind of been pushed to the side. Him and Andy both kind of were saying you've been pushed
to
the side.
Well, here's
like,
the thing. Okay.
In favor of Diener.
Here's the thing.
That's
I love Louisville
saying.
Football.
Yeah.
I love Louisville football the same way now as I ever have.
Yeah,
okay. So it doesn't matter who the head coach is. Diener, you know, he'll blow with the wind, you know, but he did go, he's like the Forrest Gump feather, wherever the wind takes it. You know, but I'll ride with my program, and I was excited, and I did think that Satterfield could have eventually figured it out here. Now, I'm pumped to have Jeff Brohm and the staff. I'm pumped to win 10 games. Now, the difference is I was one of the only ones during the Satterfield era. Now, everybody else is jumping on board, and they're acting like they've been here the whole time. All right? So, yeah. You know, are there other voices? And Diener went to the Def Leppard concert with Jeff Brohm, but when he was the Purdue coach. So they have, like, you
it's
know,
his buddy.
They're friends. Yes. So that's fine. But, like, don't act like you've been around the football program where you've been donating to NIL this whole time. Because you have.
Tell him you're still the sheriff. Don't go get it twisted. Yeah. You're still Mark Blankenbaker.
He still can't name a damn defensive lineman.
And don't go at Diener too hard because it wasn't him that actually said these things. It was Strebel. So if you want to direct it towards
actually,
him.
Actually, last year, though, Drew could have named more than a quarterback.
Okay.
Last year.
Yeah.
That would have been the first time in a while. All right. So, but that would have been the first time in quite some time. An offensive lineman, I mean, you know, it would have been like, nope.
Well, he's donating to NIL now. So he's now helping get the guys to get here. So
all the way in.
He knows, he's going to know a few players now. You know, that's where he sees where his money going towards. So, I'm not mad at it. But
some of that money might have gone to Amani Berry.
Amari.
Yeah. Is that what I said?
Yeah. He said Amani. Amari Berry.
I thought I said Amari.
Yeah, Amari Berry. There we go.
Amari Berry. So she committed to Jeff Walls and staff over the weekend, which is a big commitment. Where was she ranked?
So ESPN had her number 13 overall, but she's the highest ranked recruit in this class.
Okay.
In a class that has seven players.
And
she's
a big class.
The highest. So it's a huge class. But it's a foundation.
So third or fourth McDonald's All-American.
The second McDonald's All-American, but they've got three in the Jordan Brand Classic and in two McDonald's All-Americans. So McKinley, I thought Tatiana Roberts was one. She was ranked pretty high, but she wasn't one. But the third five-star in this class.
Wow.
With her being the highest rated one. Combo guard, the all-time leading scorer in Clarksville High School. Miss Basketball and Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Tennessee. Like, she's a baller. Like, she can play, just flat out go. Over 2,500 career points in high school. Like, she
this is what I'm talking about, Jeff Walls.
Yeah.
Right here. We're not going to be a sixth seed. We're going to be hosting here in the UM Center coming back around. This is what I like to see, Jeff Walls. Coming back to normalcy. You know, not whatever this was, losing in the first round of Middle Tennessee State, blowing a massive lead. We're going back.
Yes.
We're going to host, and we're going to be in the second weekend and maybe the Final Four. I love it.
I think over the next 2 years, you could see two classes for Coach Walls that could get him over the hump. Because he's essentially done everything in collegiate basketball that you could do except win a national title.
Yep.
But with this class and potentially next year's class with some you got two players in the state of Kentucky that are ranked in the top 10.
It's great.
And so you could – I mean, not to say you're going to get them both, but if you were to land one and or both of those players – you're talking about a class that can set you up to win a title and to be title contention over the course of the next 4 to 5 years. So that this class has been huge, getting the McDonald's All-Americans, getting the Jordan Blank Classics, the All-Americans, the Player of the Years in all their states, and to combine it with, you know, the players that you have on this year's roster. This is setting up to be a good year. Like I said, no more six seeds. You know, we did that. No more one and done in the tournaments.
No.
Like, we need to be hosting, and we need to be advancing far like we have over the course of his career. So
yeah, so, you know, it's great to see, obviously, the arenas. We did get the signature from Randolph.
Yes.
And then now, you know, just getting high school players and getting portal players. And it's really good to see, you know, what Jeff Walls and company are doing. Now we've got Pat Kelsey's got to start doing stuff.
Yeah.
And Jeff Brohm's got to start re-recruiting his roster. And then you lose players. I do think we need to hit the portal for wide receiver for sure.
You think so?
I think
so. And there's some good ones out there. I mean, there's some guys. Yeah. And obviously, every day there's a name that drops that people just don't expect, whether it's from your team or a conference rival or whatever. Like, there's names that hit in the portal because the portal window is still open until May 1st. And so there'll be names up until May 1st that continue to hit, including highly touted, very, very good wide receivers. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they work that. And you think they need to go out? Are they looking for wide receiver one, or are they looking for just depth in your perspective?
You know, I think if they can find a guy that's worthy of wide receiver one, they're obviously going to take him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not gonna look for a second tier wide receiver just to get a second tier wide. They're gonna go get the best one they possibly can. I don't know. I think they're probably looking for somebody. I mean, if they can find a Jamari Thrash, they should take that guy. I mean, there's not many guys out. Like,
no,
I talked to Jamari at the spring game a little bit. He's obviously not expected to go in the first day, but he's doing some stuff with his family on day two and day three. Mm-hmm. And so he thinks they hope, you know, he's really confident he's going to get drafted, and he's really excited to see. But he's like, he told his agent, he told me that he's directed his agent to not tell him which teams that the agent is talking to because he wants to be surprised. Mm. So he's really excited for that. And I think if I was an NFL GM, I would totally draft Jamari Thrash because I'm going to look like a genius.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know which round. Is it a fourth round? Is it the fifth round?
If you get him in the fifth round, you're getting a steal.
I agree.
Because we only got part, meaning us here at Louisville, only got part of the Jamari Thrash experience. I think this kid is super talented, but when you have a wrist injury and you're a wide receiver, it's just hard to really be who you fully can be. And with our limitations at quarterback as well, you have to take that into consideration. I think if you have a better quarterback play and no injury, we're talking about 1,300 yards from Jamari Thrash. Like, I think you're talking about that big of a season because he's that talented.
Right.
And the way he's been able to run his routes and the way that, because I was at Pro Day and I actually know Jamari's trainer. I went to school with him at Western. Yeah, so he trains down in Atlanta with a Top Shelf Performance, and shout out to Coach Steph. Those guys, and even, you know, those guys even talk to scouts and stuff too.
Yeah.
And they really like what they're seeing from Thrash as far as a route running perspective and what he was able to do in a limited time at the ACC level. You know, he's coming from Georgia State. And, like, that's one thing. Okay, you dominate that competition. What do you look like at the ACC level?
And he was good.
And he was essentially dominating that before his injury. And so those
injured, I think he would have been in a conversation for the Biletnikoff. But obviously, this class was stupid with wide receiver.
Yeah, the wide receiver class
with the Washington guy and Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm. And then the kids down there at LSU.
Yeah, two
it
first
was
rounders.
Totally freaking stacked at wide receiver. But
you got a kid running 4.1 at Texas. Yeah, Worthy. You're in a 4.21, a 4.21 rather, set the combine record. This wide receiver class is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's awesome.
So it's not really the year to come out and try to be a first rounder at wide receiver if you're not one of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jamari Thrash has a future in this league.
Absolutely.
I really am so excited to see where he's going to go. Did you see the story that Caleb Williams said? Because the draft is this week.
Yes.
Talking about that.
I watched his interview on The Pivot. Yeah,
it was
a good watch. It was a good watch because he's an interesting kid. He's very, very interesting. I think the most interesting thing about that, what he said, one, he's prepping to be number one to Chicago. Like, he's got that set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows.
Yeah, and I think that the funniest thing about his interview was that he went to Oklahoma knowing that Spencer Rattler was a starter, knowing that Spencer Rattler was, like, Big 12, a player of the year or whatever, and he said he was upset that he wasn't the starter week one.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, yo, I was pissed. And, like, you could tell from his mannerisms, like, he was serious.
Right.
He thought he was going to go in there and start. Obviously, Rattler, you know, falters. He comes in there in the Texas game, and the rest is history.
Right.
But it's like, wow, that's the type of mindset I want for my players.
I love that. And I did love the story, though, of why he chose to play quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
Harrison Bailey.
Yeah, he was playing defense of a team against Harrison Bailey. Louisville's, I think, running third on the depth chart because Pierce Clarkson is the second string guy, which is a whole other conversation
that's
we didn't
good.
Get into, which
that's,
is great.
Yeah, it's good.
For Pierce. But Harrison Bailey beat Caleb Williams' team.
Yes.
And Caleb was like, I'm not letting this happen again. I'm going to go play quarterback somewhere. And apparently the team that he was playing on was doing the daddy ball thing. Mm-hmm. And he was playing defense. And daddy ball is one of the worst things you can do.
It's the worst in sports. It's literally the worst.
Because
especially when the guy is just not good. Now, if you have
Caleb Williams, you're...
Yeah. Especially when you're putting that guy on the bench. You're putting Caleb Williams on the bench for your son. Like, stop it, sir.
Yeah, stop it. Yeah. But it happens everywhere.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, some coaches' kids can play. Some kids can pitch, and some kids can't.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't. Some kids can't play quarterback.
Yeah.
And some kids can't. And it just submarines a lot of youth football leagues, programs, teams, things like that. And it's a terrible thing to do, but it happens all the time. But I just thought it was great that it was Harrison Bailey.
You know, he tweeted, he commented on that.
I saw it.
Like, yeah, he was just like, you know, shout out to Caleb, man. Because, like, Harrison, like, as Caleb said, was this phenom out of Georgia? Like, he was the highly touted five-star guy out of Georgia that a lot of people wanted to be like or to try to be. And to hear that that's how kind of how all that went down, it was a cool story to hear. It was definitely cool.
So what's the update, switching back to basketball recruiting? What's the update on Corin Johnson?
Okay.
What are we doing with him?
So here's what makes this whole basketball recruiting thing interesting with Louisville, since they have to fill so many spots. So Trilly Donovan, as we all know.
Trilly,
of course. He has this paid Discord. Well, because Louisville's now in the mix for a lot of players, a lot of our fans are in this paid Discord. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting the news from the Trilly Discord and updating Twitter. That's how the information flows.
It
flows from whoever to Trilly to his paid Discord, from his paid Discord to all of us peasants on Twitter that won't pay $6.99 or whatever he's charging for his Discord. And so, but I guess for them to remain in the know and like not spill all the beans until the stuff is made official, instead of actually just saying words, they just put GIFs in you know, pictures, random pictures that you have to correlate and all kinds of stuff for you to try to figure out. So everybody puts out cryptic tweets because they don't want to give away the paywall stuff from the Trilly Donovan Discord.
Yeah.
And so now the latest thing that I'm seeing, Chase actually sent it to us. It was a Louisville fan account, essentially. It's like Louisville Cards HD, I want to say, is what the account was. And so let me pull up this tweet Chase has sent. So it's a picture of Russell Westbrook and a guy I didn't know who he was. I'm going to be honest. I had no clue who he was. He just plays for the Detroit Pistons, right? And so there's just two pictures side by side. And so someone said, Russ was born in Long Beach, California. And that's Treyor, the Long Beach player.
Yeah.
And then said Malachi Flynn, who's the Detroit guy that I didn't know who it was. Malachi Flynn is from Washington. Corin Johnson.
Right.
So people think that sooner or later, I'm assuming sooner since they keep putting out this cryptic stuff, we're going to get a commitment from the Long Beach State guy and Corin Johnson out of Washington. That's where we're at now, Mark. This stuff is fun. I'm not going to lie. I'm into all of this. Like, this is so much better than just wondering if we're going to lose by 15 or 25. Like, this is a lot better, like getting in on recruits that we actually have a shot and probably will land versus just crickets during this time. Like, just crickets, or then during the season getting beat by 15 to 25 points. So, yeah, I'm into all of it. I don't know what any of it means, but what I do hear, I put out. I haven't heard anything, but apparently Trilly Donovan and his Discord and all the cryptic tweets say otherwise. And I'm into all of it, baby.
All right.
I'm in all
Here's
of
something
it.
That's not cryptic.
Okay.
I do think Louisville will land Corin Johnson. I just don't know when.
I was about to say, do you have a time?
I don't know when. I don't have a time. I do think that they're in great position for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will get Chucky Hepburn as well.
Yes.
And then the Long Beach State guy, Lasina Traor. How do I say his name?
Treyora.
Okay. I like where we are with him, too. I don't know that I feel comfortable saying we're going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're in on a number of guys that are at some place or another. And honestly, a lot of times I hear them and I'm like, Villanova guard. I think that's TJ Bamba.
Yes.
We're involved with.
Mm-hmm.
How far, how deep into discussions we are.
Yeah, he had us in his top six or
I don't
final
know.
Six or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But I am starting to say, Long Beach State big.
We had a big from Evansville in, by the way, too. Like that.
Is he from UE?
So, yeah.
Or from Evansville to, like, town?
No. He's from UE. UE. I was like, well, okay. I wasn't to think about that. But, yeah, he was in, and that guy broke by the fact that a fan was at Ruth Chris while they were on the visit.
Oh, really?
So, like, a fan ran into him and Corin Johnson at Ruth Chris, took pictures, and people was like, who's the big tall white guy? Like, who is that? And then obviously our Twitter detectives found out he was a big that played at Evansville last year. Right. Averaged, I think, about 14, 15 points per game, but shot 40% from three.
So do you pay for the Trulli Discord?
I do not.
Because I don't.
I know. I
don't
do not
follow Trulli.
But I'm
everybody
not mad
tells
at
me
it.
About Trulli, and I'm like, all right, Trulli. I talk to people at U of L.
Flex on him then, Blake. He's like, yeah, I just talked to the people at the school. I don't need Trulli telling me stuff I already know. And I know you've called out Trulli a couple of times on wrong info.
Well, he had it wrong in December. You know, he had it wrong in December when he said that the board stopped Josh from firing Kenny Payne. Yeah, that's not
you
true.
You couldn't fly, let that fly.
No, it just wasn't true. You know, I mean, I know it made sense that you would fire Kenny Payne there. But I don't think Josh Hurd was willing to spend the money. I think that was a strict financial decision. Mm. I'm going to fire him. I have to pay him anyway. Mm. I'm about to hire a whole new staff and spend more money if I could just ride. This season is dead regardless.
Yeah.
And then also, I mean, what a lot of people don't realize, if you go back in time, the portal was open for the team then. The portal, you could have pressed eject on the team. And then do you have a team to play, you know, to actually go out there and, you know, and then what are the ramifications of having four players?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot there that you go into there. So, I don't know. But I feel good about Corin Johnson and Chucky Hepburn. Beyond that, I think it's I think we're waiting and seeing.
Are you nervous at all about no bigs, really? Like, Khalifa committed, but he, as of now, won't play. Your only big right now is James Scott. Are you nervous? Do you think they should
be? Well, if we get the Long Beach State kid in, that alleviates some of that concern. For sure, because there's some size there. I don't know. Chase, what do you think?
I'm not nervous. Like, I don't want to hit the alarm bells, but, like, yeah, I mean, you'd like to see somebody else other than James Scott, right? I mean, he didn't play very much at Charleston. I figured he would be a bench player, which I was really happy about, because I think it's hard to recruit people to come to a place where they think they're going to have to sit the bench.
Yeah.
So, like, getting a player like that early, I was like, yes, that's great. But if he has to be the starter, then I'm a little nervous.
Some guys, like, I will say Goodman and Rob Doster, they think he's an NBA player. Like I posted the clip.
I saw that.
Yeah, I posted the clip of them talking about it on the Field of 68, and they think, like, they even said, like, we had one coach saying, why is this guy, when we were at watching Charleston, like, why is this guy at, like, North Carolina? This guy is a high-level athlete, and so obviously not this year, but they think at some point he will play games in the NBA. So maybe that is – maybe he's further along than we even know.
Maybe.
And I do think they're in, like you said, the Evansville big was in this weekend. Like I said, the fan spotted him at Ruth Chris. And so if you land a guy like him, I think it will relieve some things. But to see, it just seems like, once again, we don't know everybody that they're in on, but everybody that we do know seem to all be guards. And so I think the bigs are also being recruited. It's just something that hasn't hit the headlines like some of these guard recruits.
I'm just so glad that I don't cover recruiting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we obviously talk about it on the show, but I'm dealing with reporting. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear reports or rumor or something like that that's already, like, out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not digging it up myself because I don't even know where I would start. It'd be like those guys on the beach. You ever go to the beach and see the guys with, like, the metal detectors and they're just walking up and
looking
down? That would be me trying to cover recruiting. And, you know, and I love like watching recruiting and like seeing all the reporting come out about it. But when you are reporting on it, you've talked to a ton of people before you're putting it out there. So that seems like a heck of a lot of work.
No,
it seems like a lot of work.
It's not fun. I'd rather just have the guys either, you know, commit and then talk to him after that. Why'd you choose to go to Louisville? Like, as opposed to, who are you down between? What's it going to take? Blah, blah. Yeah, no, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just talk to, you know, the guys or gals about why you chose to come here and then move on from there. Because, like you said, because the thing about reporting on recruiting, as we saw with the Marcelo stuff, like, you can get burned. Like you can get
talk to the wrong person.
Yeah, you can get burned. And it's now with collegiate athletes having agents, right? Like the agent may have one thing or have a something that they're trying to accomplish that's not the same thing as the program and not even the same thing as the kid.
Well, hey, when you're making 20%, you want to renegotiate, right? Right? You want to renegotiate as many times as you want to.
Yeah, 20-25%, I bet you do want to renegotiate.
Textler says, Trilly's track record of being wrong about us comes from Nolan Smith being a bad leaker and Dusty May being a coward. I don't know if Dusty May really thought out his decision. Like, think about why Michigan's open, Dusty. Because they didn't have enough money to keep Hunter Dickinson and Caleb
Love. Can't get anybody in.
And who's the guy?
Terrence Shannon.
Mm. Couldn't get into school. Mm-mm. And then now Juwan Howard gets sucked because of that? Mm. No, thank you. I'm not getting in that position.
Not at all.
No way.
But you can play second fiddle to the football team. Right? Like right now they're trying to discover who's going to be the starting quarterback.
You could also get fired like Juwan Howard.
Yeah, but I mean, or you could fly under the radar like what, Baylem they had for a long time?
Beeline.
Yeah, like you can fly under the radar for like Beeline for a long time if you're just okay.
Right.
You know, because Juwan kind of bottomed out at the end. But if he's 20 wins a year, even if he doesn't make it past the first round.
Did he make the Elite Eight once, though? One hour?
I don't know if he ever gets that far.
His best year was the year where COVID was affecting the season. Not the year where COVID canceled the tournament, the year after, where people were out. And,
yeah, he won, I think, National Coach of the Year in 2021. You're right, Chase. Yeah.
Yeah, they made the Elite Eight. Then the Sweet 16. Then last year was the NIT. And then this year they're 8-24.
Yeah, so he kind of just bottomed out. And so that is. But if you're able to just stay afloat, I mean, they're worried about Sharon Moore and who's going to be QB1, who's going to replace J.J. McCarthy and all these 20 draft picks they're going to have. They're not worried about Jonnell Davis not being able to get into school. That's second page news. Who's starting in the spring game is the front page news for them. It's crazy.
Man, and talking about Michigan football, I mean, two coaches they've lost to DUI, right? Like, you know, like up there was a Denard Robinson and then now and Greg Scruggs. I mean, you know, Uber is cheaper than your job.
This is true.
You know, and I love Scruggs.
Yeah.
You know, he came from Wisconsin and it had it rolling. It was like, you know, his reputation was at an all-time high. Look, I'd find a spot for him here, Jeff.
Ooh, you would?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Scruggs is pretty awesome.
Little resurrection. You're talking about a revival. He's one of our own. Bring him here. He's got a lot of recruiting connections. He's worth reviving. Mm-hmm. I found a spot for Scruggsy there. I would have fired him, but you know, but also it's school. You got to make an example. It's just kind of, I don't know. That's tough. You got to Uber people.
Yeah.
Uber, Lyft, taxi. I don't know.
Walk. Anything.
Don't get on a scooter because you can get one on there too, but like, you know, figure it out. Like, just don't do that.
You can get DUI on the scooters?
You can get a DUI on a,
I didn't know that.
If you take your riding lawnmower and put it on a street, you can get a DUI.
Yeah, I hope you.
Now you can drive your lawnmower drunk on your own lawn.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
But if you go on a sidewalk or a road, you can get a DUI on your lawnmower too.
Wow.
I think you can even get a DUI on a horse.
Okay.
If you're on the street.
I did not know that. It makes sense.
What if
I
the horse is drunk?
Well, that's a whole other conversation. Yeah, you're responsible. Don't get the horse drunk.
Animal abuse.
Stop it, Baffert.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah. How did that end up there? I have no idea.
Well, speaking of doping, did you see China's in trouble?
No, I missed that.
With the Paris Olympics coming up, the 2021 medals that China won in swimming, apparently 3 years later, they're coming back testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. And so WADA is going to have a press conference. It's today. It's here in a little bit. It's at 11 o'clock this morning. And so this Chinese doping case and a lot of athletes that got silver or bronze are going to get elevated to gold and silver and reallocate. Some people who didn't medal are going to medal. And so it's a mess. And it's always the same people. It's China and Russia every single time. I mean, have you ever watched that Icarus documentary?
Mm-mm.
Ahead of the Olympics, I encourage everybody to watch Icarus. Okay, I think it's on Netflix, but it's about this guy. He set out to like do like cycling, mm-hmm. and he was gonna dope. and he was going to do it and like see how easy it was and how easy how it enhanced him mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So he was going to do it as a documentary because he just thought that doping was rampant in cycling. And he goes through this thing. Anyway, he gets involved with like this Russian doctor who runs the doping program in Russia and all this other stuff. And it turns into this whole other thing where helps this guy get out of Russia. Because now Vladimir Putin wants him dead.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was, like, crazy. And the Russians, and this guy, this doctor that helped cover up all, like, help. Because when you test, like, you're doping, but you're also taking things to mask the dope. Mm-hmm. So you're getting around the test, which is why 3 years later you're finding out things because the testing gets better. Anyway, the Russians broke in. This is for the Paralympics, okay? They broke open a wall, a concrete wall, to get the samples of their tainted Paralympians out. They're cheating in the Paralympics. They're going to cheat in the Olympics.
That's crazy.
They couldn't even compete last time as Russia. It was like the individuals from Russia because they're so known for cheating. We're going to go and we're going to all watch. And Russia's going to participate, China's, and we know they're going to cheat. And then 3 years later, here we come.
Find out it's we
like,
were right.
Why are we doing still this? Cheating. Just don't let them participate. I don't like. What's the problem? I don't understand why this is always a thing. But whatever, they're going to do it.
That so. Is wild. I got to check that out now. Now you got me intrigued.
Watch ignorance,
Mark.
Man. I mean, like, not a lot of people are going to sign up and watch a documentary on cycling. It's not about cycling. It starts as cycling.
And then it gets crazy.
It turns into a whole other thing. It's really crazy. As they're doing the documentary, the guy's like, this isn't about cycling at all. But he has to show it to show you like how he arrived there. And so it's really, really interesting. Do you watch the Olympics much or you get into wrap yourself in the flag?
I watch the gymnastics, the swimming, and the basketball.
Okay.
That's about it. Oh, track and field. Track and field. Yeah, yeah.
So track and field comes second.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on the calendar, like mm-hmm. it starts with swimming and they transition to track mm-hmm. and field. Like, they don't ever overlap. By the time we get to track and field, I'm usually tired of the Olympics by
then. Yeah, track and field is actually my favorite. So I can't, like, I have to see, like, because those, to me, those are some of the more notable people.
Yeah.
And then
I love watching Usain Bolt.
And then I hope that Ronnie Baker, he's local. He went to Ballard and went to TCU. He's one of my friends. He is an Olympian, so he's ran in the Olympics before. And so hopefully he's training. He's training down in Lexington to try to get back for this year's Olympics. So
when do they qualify?
So I'm not sure. Like, the calendar's always weird, but like I know, like, but there's him. There's obviously a bunch of the Americans that are really, really good. Sha'Carri Richardson, of course. And then so I always really big into track and field because, like, those are superb athletes. Like, the track and field runners are just – and the ones that participate in, like, long jump and all that – high jump, all that stuff, like, superb
athletes. Hopefully none of our athletes are doping. You know, I mean, because we've gotten caught. I mean, we've had
a
guys
few times. Justin Gatlin and
get caught
know.
Up in this. And who was a guy? The guy from Lexington, did he get caught?
Tyson Gay?
Did he? No, I don't think
no,
he did.
No, Tyson, it was Justin Gatlin was the big one.
It was
one.
Gatlin that got
Gatlin
it. Okay.
Was the big one.
It's hard to keep up with all these cheaters, these Dabo Sweeneys that Diener likes to hang out with his straw hats, country music festivals. What's this about?
Yeah, so no, I'm excited about the Olympics in that capacity to see who's able to do what. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But that documentary now, Mark, you got my ears perked. I got to go check it out.
Like,
now
like,
it's like
watch escaping, that and then watch the Olympics. I'm telling you.
Trying to get somebody out of Russia fleeing from Vladimir Putin.
Trying to kill.
That was enough. I got to see that.
This guy got a medal from Vladimir Putin, right? Like, mm-hmm. he got a medal for their performance in, I think, the 2004 games, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that, because he helped them cheat.
Yeah, I was about to say, you get a medal for being the best, helping us be the best cheaters.
And then years later, something happened with the Russian doping program, and then he was speaking out on it.
Mm,
and then now,
whistleblower.
Now you have to die.
Yeah.
Which Vladimir Putin always kills people by falling out of windows. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
You seen this?
Crazy.
So Google Russian opposition fall out of window, and a lot of these guys that like are speaking out of them. Now some of them get poisoned, like the dude.
I do remember that.
You remember
I
that guy?
Remember that.
Some guys get poisoned, but. And then they have the Havana syndrome that they do that to us, the Havana syndrome. But if you're just like in Russia and they can get to you, a lot of times they just throw you out the window. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, he just randomly fell out of a window. It's really weird. Man, he wasn't suicidal. Didn't have a suicide note. He told his wife he'd be home for dinner, but then he just fell out of a window.
Yeah, he ended up pushed out of the window.
Yeah, just fell out of a window. Super weird that happens. But anyway, Licey's got to get out of here, so we're going to let him move on to his day job. But thank you so much for hanging out with me, Jeff.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, appreciate it having me, as always.
It's pretty great whenever you can get Jeff Licey. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you will. I love that so much. I would have paid admission to have been there.
Oh, it was fun, man. So. It was fun.
All right. Well, get out of here, man. We'll send you along. Chick-fil-A, we'll have lunch for us here in a little bit. Stony Brook, Chick-fil-A Stony Brook, Chick-fil-A J-Town bringing us lunch here on a Monday like they're going to on every single Monday. They're the best at catering, so if your office needs some catering or if you need some delivery or if you have a big meal, family gathering, something like that, or maybe it's the Kentucky Derby, have Chick-fil-A Barstown Road or Chick-fil-A Stony Brook cater it. They take amazing care of every single order, and they take amazing care of us. All right, on the other side, Chase the Face and I will continue to roll along. We'll get you to the end of the day and here on a beautiful Monday morning here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 Neville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker.
Hey, and we're back here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Liquor Barn, it's where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. And you know what? Like, it's Derby week. You don't have a whole lot of time. We're not Derby week, but you're in the 2 weeks of Derby. You don't have a lot of time to just be going to stores and stuff. Download that Liquor Barn app, order delivery, have it delivered to you. Get ready for your Derby party. They've got the Woodford Reserve Derby 150 bottle. They've got mint julep glasses. They've got Oaks Lily glasses. They've got mint julep syrup. They've got the bourbon. They will have the mint for the mint juleps. They'll have the mint julep ice. They'll have programs. They've got, you know, if you want to make the horseshoe herder a cocktail, you can make that too with the margarita. They've got everything that you're going to need to host your Derby party. They've got Derby gear. They've got the official Romeo and Juliet Derby 150 cigar over there at Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. And also the Louisville Bats. They're got a 6-game stretch at home, starts tomorrow against Nashville. And tomorrow's $2 menu night, so you'll have $2 hot dogs, popcorn, and chips and Pepsi products all for $2. That's a pretty good deal. And then Tuesday's Education Day. So you can bring your school or classroom out there. And I like dog night. So you bring your favorite little Bats fan and have a tail wagging good time out there Thursday night. And proceeds from all dog tickets, you buy a ticket for your dog, will be donated to the Kentucky Humane Society. So that's pretty cool. And then Friday, you might be interested, margaritas. Okay, so you got a little bit of that, margaritas. So $6 frozen margaritas with number one tequila. Star Wars night's gonna be Saturday. So, and then on Sunday, $8 kids admission for outfield seats in advance only. And they've got some stuff going on over there as well. So the cool time for the Bats. Really looking forward to that. If you're looking to get outside, I think the weather later on in the week is going to be really nice. So, man, why not get out there and hang out with the Louisville Bats?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. They're doing a really good job.
Yeah, it's great.
With all these promotions.
Oh, the promotions are phenomenal. I mean, tomorrow night you got there $2 hot dogs, popcorn, chips, and Pepsi products. I mean, it's a cheap night out, and you're out there, you know. And the food out there is awesome anyway. So, you know, if you get off the $2 menu, you know, some of the stuff's still really good.
Yeah, no, I went on the dollar beer night, and it was, I mean, if you keep doing dollar beer night, people keep showing up. Yeah. Margarita madness, people show up.
Yeah, those dollar, they used to be $1 beer nights. Those, we go out there and just, you know, just Uber home. Just
Uber home.
Yeah. It was like, it was just, what I'd do is I would leave my car in the parking garage downtown because I work downtown. And we would just, if it was nice, you could just walk over there. And then you Uber home. And then you Uber into work. The next day, your car is there. It's perfect.
That's awesome.
It was great. So what did, I mean, where'd you take in Thunder? I forgot.
Oh, no. I was,
you were coaching. Yeah. You were coaching.
Yeah. In the cold. Wind
up in Indy,
yeah, Indianapolis. Yeah, so.
When does that end for you?
Oh, towards the end of May. But if we win out, like I hope we do, then we go to regionals, which will be early June.
So you're not going to do a pop up tournament Derby week and
no, God,
and ditch me on that?
No, I do. Okay, how do we get past this? How do we get past this? I mean, do I need to give you my Chick-fil-A today?
No,
peace offering.
There's tons of Chick-fil-A. You don't have to give me any of that. No, man. It's cool. Who impressed you in the spring game?
I mean, Shuck threw the ball very effortlessly, like to the sideline. Yeah. He was able to hit out routes like it was like on the money before the DB could even react. Like that's a big, big thing. I felt like every time Plummer set his feet to the outside, I got a little nervous pit in my stomach. Like, uh-oh, what if he jumps this?
Right.
I think that's an aspect of offense that if we have that, it unlocks a lot of stuff. You know, just being able to hit that little quick hitter 4 yards down the field, pick up the yards that way instead of having to run it.
Yeah. And, you know, the first play of the game was Chris Bell. They're in zone coverage. It looked like it was on Quincy Riley, but I think that was actually more the safety's fault on that particular play because Q stopped in zone and the safety's supposed to pick up his man, and that did not happen. I couldn't tell who the safety was. I couldn't tell if it was Devin Neal. I was having trouble in the stadium, you know, seeing the replay on that. But I have to go back and watch on the ACC Network replay and see if I can figure out who that was. And on the second one, or, you know, but then Quincy got his interception.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. And seeing Skinner get in the end zone, seeing and that play that got tipped up at the end that gave the offense the ultimate lead, was that Sam Young, quarterback Sam Young?
It might have been
because he's wearing a green jersey. I was like, they're out there. We got quarterbacks catching touchdowns. This
football is
awesome. Yeah, and none of the trick plays worked. You know, the one that worked got called back for holding. Brady Allen all of a sudden has wheels.
Yes, he does.
And I'm like, I didn't know Brady Allen could run. But yeah. Brady Allen can kind of run.
He had some happy feet, but when he got out, it was like, oh, he can move. He's big, too. He's a big
Brady dude. Allen's made progress. He was lost last fall. When I saw him last fall and he was kind of coming in here and there was a lot of hype about him, I was like, that's not it. He's made massive progress, and that's really encouraging to see. And, of course, guys like Harrison Bailey and Pierce Clarkson are going to fight it out at the two spot. But when you have a good, honest quarterback competition, everybody's going to get better. And that's the thing that I'm enjoying the most of watching that. And I don't know if we're going to be in transfer portal quarterback territory next year. I think it makes sense to be. But, man, that was – you know, that was great to see all the competition out there. And the text line saying it, yes, it was Sam Young. That's super
That's
cool,
awesome.
Man. What was the DB's hand that it went off of? Because for the people who weren't there, it was a long pass down the right sideline. The ball looked like it was going to get intercepted or batted. The ball got tipped right into the hands of Sam Young, and it was a long touchdown. It was a great moment. Of course, the defense is very upset because they got robbed throughout the night. The defense got robbed throughout the night. They just did.
Yeah.
For points and different things.
Yeah.
It was a really cool moment. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did get robbed. Like you said, with the capers, sack, and everything like that. If they could hit.
Oh, my God. I mean, but different. If they could hit, though, Quan Brown, I think, is going through some dudes.
Probably. And Chaney as well, probably.
Chaney.
Yeah.
Who does Chaney remind you of?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. I'm forgetting his name. It was Lamar's sophomore year, who's
Brandon Ratcliffe?
A little bit of Brandon Ratcliffe in it, but I think is he a little bit bigger?
He's bigger.
Yeah, he's taller.
So he's very tall. So when I first saw him, I was like, he looks like Lionel Gates. Like, if you put Lionel Gates when he was in his prime next to Don Chaney, they look very similar. I actually think he runs like Colby Smith, though, because I don't think Chaney has that top-end Jawar Jordan speed. And Colby didn't either, but Colby could – he could move the chains, you know, and he could break off a 20, 30-yard run. He'd get caught from behind because he wasn't that fast, but you know, he was a really good back. I think that's where Don Chaney is.
Yeah, I think that's part of the why Penny Boone was like maybe thinking about coming back, but entered the transfer portal anyways because right. I think he's the same type of back, and Chaney might just be a notch higher. Whereas like Maurice Turner's your speed guy, I guess, and right. Keewon Brown is pretty quick as well.
Text line saying that the ball was off Aaron Williams' hands. Thank you for that. There's several people telling me that. I wondered, because like when you're in the stadium, you're like living in the moment, and you don't get to go back and look at it. It was fun.
What did you think about that stuff at halftime, bringing out the old players?
Perfect.
I love it.
Great touch. I think we need to do more outreach for football because, I mean, they've had so many coaching changes. It's easy to get disconnected when your coaches and your coaching staff isn't there. So you got to work really hard to stay connected to the football program. And I think that's something that they could get started with.
I'll give a shout out to my strength coach from Santa X, Tronzo. Joe Tronzo is out there.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, all right. So, Louis Rabeau's next. We got the Tweezergate sitting here. I don't know whose tweezers these are, Louis, but I'm not touching them. They're not mine. Just for the record, maybe to rubbage on 93.9 The Ville. Thanks to Jeff Leitze for sitting in with us for the better part of the day. Thanks to you, Chase, for producing the effort.